Yo, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, the microphone messiah, and I am joined by the current bullet cast in the bank, Mr. Brandon Tanguma. What's going on, man? Welcome to our SummerSlam recap.
Hello, Philip. Doing just fine. Not Bulletcast champion, unfortunately, but maybe I'll pull an Io Sky and I'll cash in when
Yeah, it
Katie
was. It was
is Katie still the champion?
she is. It was a weird
When
four.
Katie least expects it.
It was a weird four-way tie.
Well, it would help if I unplugged my microphone and plugged it.
Oh, what did you say? What did you say? Brandon having technical difficulties here, ladies and gentlemen. Are you good now? Just smiling.
Oh, we're back. All right.
There we are.
SummerSlam recap, ladies and gentlemen. 2023 taking place for live from Ford Field in Detroit, Michigan.
Yes.
Brought to you by Slim Jim and C4 Energy and Mike's Hard Lemonade and, sorry, Harder Lemonade
Yeah.
and a whole bunch of other things. Nikon is getting that money. But
As he should. The number one wrestling company in the world gets all these monies.
all the monies.
Yeah.
Give some to Danhausen. He's out of work.
He'll be all right. He'll go back to work in 2029 or whatever he said. Yes.
2099.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, so let's get into the recap of the card here. I like to start off with the biggest stuff. That's how we do it, man.
So we're going to start from the top. Logan Paul and
Tribal Combat
Ricochet.
is what happened just now. It closed out the show. Don't ever try to assume what I want to talk about, Brandon. You know that. You know I want to talk about the big stuff when it comes to the bloodline.
All of the stuff is equally as big.
Roman Reigns is the biggest star in the industry. If he's not in anything else, then it ain't it.
Yeah.
So yes, Tribal Combat happened. The undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship was on the line, along with the Ulafala, the lay, for the opportunity to be called the Tribal Chief, the head of the table, the head of the Anoa'i Samoan bloodline, the dynasty. Roman Reigns is still the champ. He still has the Ulafala. He's still our Tribal Chief. A lot of tables were broken. Kendo sticks. This was an emotional night. Solo Sikoa came out of nowhere. We thought he was taken care of last night on Friday Night SmackDown to help out Roman Reigns. They were going for the Samoan Spike spear spot. Jay pulled Solo in the way he got caught with a spear. Solo didn't like the fact that he was speared by Roman. Roman's like, "We'll worry about that later." Jay puts Solo through the table, and it looks like Jay finally has the upper hand. Gave Roman a couple spears. Jimmy Uso returns, shockingly, to turn on his brother, super kicked him, fed him to Roman. Roman spears him through a table. Roman's still the champ of the Tribal Chief. What are your thoughts?
I thought this was another fantastic match from the Bloodline, from Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, everyone involved. Even Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman played a little part. He wasn't physically involved in the match, but I just thought, him yelling and his acting on the side was just fantastic. I was shocked that, Michael Cole said that this is the first singles match that Roman's had, obviously on television, done house shows and things like that, since WrestleMania against Cody. We've kind of talked about always just in tag matches and whatever, but Roman didn't lose a step. It was an absolute fantastic match. The shock of Jimmy Uso pulling Roman or pulling Jay out when he had a presumably a visual pinfall, I thought it was a really good shocker. With all these Fatus and Samoans wrestling making their debuts, you don't know who is going to be underneath that bandana and hoodie, but it ended up being Jimmy. It did look like even Roman was kind of shocked at what happened. I obviously they're going to uncover that, but I thought it was really good. And yeah, you could we kind of assume maybe they were going to do like the same beats of, ref bump interference, which they did, but I thought they did like enough newer things and, outside of like the last 15, 20 percent of the match with Solo involved. It was pretty much just a straightforward Jimmy or Jay and Roman match, which I quite enjoyed.
Yeah, SummerSlam doesn't have the best track record for twins. Remember, Nikki Bella turned on Brie Bella at SummerSlam 2014. So, kind of continuing with that. Jay suffers his first SummerSlam loss ever. Roman is now, what, 6-1 at the event? Yeah, no, good stuff. The story beats continue. Now it looks like we can finally get that Usos rivalry that people have been clamoring for years and How appropriate that Payback is right next up. September 2nd, Pittsburgh. Excited. Very excited. And
the internet's been a buzz of saying, oh, Roman's not advertised for like the next two pay-per-views. And maybe he still isn't going to be on those shows, but now with Jimmy and Jay presumably going to be in some sort of feud in the fall, it would make sense. I don't know if you still main event those pay-per-views with that match, or you have them.
You should. He's main event Jay Uso.
I understand that, but title matches and everything like that. It's not my problem. It's Triple H's and WWE's problem to figure that out. But
historically, there are times where the title match has gone on last when it shouldn't have been. You have your WrestleMania 18, you have your WrestleMania 25. The list goes on.
But the next few months, even without, if Roman's not going to be there, presumably, let's just assume, at all, they can fill the next 2 to 3 months with Jimmy and Jay.
They can. They should. They will. Moving on from Tribal Combat.
Are we going to start from the top, or are we going to just move it backwards?
I'll let you make that decision.
We'll start from the top because we move backwards. Technically, we get things out of order, and it's very confusing. So we'll just start from the beginning. We got Logan Paul taking on Ricochet in a singles match to open up SummerSlam, as we kind of thought, because his brother Jake Paul, and as I have this on in the background, Jake just dropped Nate Diaz. So maybe both Paul brothers are going to be victorious today, because Logan Paul did defeat Ricochet in about 18 minutes. Some mystery man handed Logan a pair of brass knucks. Who is that? I don't know. I'm not in the Logan Paul fanboy club, or if he was just a rando, but
Shout out Logan Paul. He made it in time to walk his brother out like he said he would.
Good for him. I mean, it was, 3+ hour difference from the end of his match to the walkout.
It was nearly impossible, but Logan Paul made it happen. Just like that buckshot lariat to the outside. I mean, by God.
I was making a joke. And if you guys watch, if you watch the match, you can tell Logan Paul was just doing like the greatest hits of just stealing every, he was pretty much like kids in, wrestling in the basement or something. They're just stealing everybody's moves, but Logan Paul does them all better. I mean, I don't know if Hangman Page is going to be inspired to try to do that. I don't know if he's that athletic though.
I kind of need to see Hangman try that buckshot to the outside. That would be great. Oh, this was fantastic. Just unbelievable athleticism. The disdain on Samantha Irvin's face when she had to announce that Logan Paul was the victor was great.
I thought they missed an opportunity of just her being like, Andrew winner, Jake Paul or Logan Paul. No sell it. Don't go over the top and just like say, Andrew winner, Logan Paul.
She's a professional, so she did it.
Good for her. She's a better woman than I am.
All right. This was fantastic. Just good stuff. Congrats to Ricochet for being put in this kind of prominent of a spot.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. He was getting really good reactions. The crowd was getting behind him in his hope spots. It was very athletic, over the top. You could call it a spot fest, but I thought they told a good story and a really good opener to this match or to the show. Second match on the card, kind of a shocker. We got Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar. This one goes just a little bit less than the opener at 17:35, and I was kind of shocked that this one opened or second from the top or second match on the card. But once you go through it, match was kind of similar construction wise to the main event, with Roman Reigns, beating down Jey Uso for a long time, Brock Lesnar beating down Cody Rhodes for a long time. So maybe that's a reason, or there's another reason why they had the match order the way it is. But Brock just pummels Cody for like 14 of the 17 minute runtime. I was getting flashbacks to that SummerSlam 2014 where Brock just dismantled John Cena, but we didn't get Super Cena, but we did get Super Cody, as Cody makes the comeback and defeats Brock, rips his pants. Brock rips Brock's pants, and then Brock gives him a show of respect. They hug it out and raises Cody's hand. Kind of a weird ending to it. I mean, I know Brock cut that promo where like it wasn't really personal, it's just business, brother, but I don't know. Just a lot of just putting the promotion behind Cody, which I understand, but it was kind of a lot, I thought.
It wasn't that much. And Brock ripped his shorts, not his pants. Brock doesn't wear pants.
Well, you know, pants, I mean, are all shorts can be pants, but I don't know, pants are shorts. I don't know. What are pants?
There's no going around it. You messed up.
I mess up all the time. You have like 6 or 7 beers while you're watching SummerSlam, because SummerSlam was a long time. It was like almost 4 hours long. We haven't
don't
had
blame
that
it on the alcohol. I hate when people do that. Take responsibility for your guys.
I'm taking it responsibility for myself. I'm just giving you a reason why I'm a blabbering idiot more than normal.
No.
Maybe there was somebody else on the show that could have covered my ass, but you know, he said he was going to be here and he's not, but it's fine.
Yeah, that guy's fired. Moving
shout
on.
Out Tim.
No. Just shout out Tim. Great guy. Love Tim. Tim from Pro Wrestling Unlimited. Follow his stuff. Fantastic. Are you still drinking? Is that what that is?
Yeah, yeah, goddamn right.
You see, that's the problem. And it's an amazing.
I put a certain amount of drinks in the refrigerator and no can left behind, brother.
What are you drinking? What is that?
It's just a simple Miller Lite. You pour it in a cup.
Miller Lite.
So then it flattens it out so you don't get all bloated, even though I am kind of bloated right now. But anyways.
Wow.
What did you think of Cody and Brock Lesnar, Philip?
I thought it was good business. Brock giving Cody kind of the nod after the match. Good stuff. 3 crossroads in a row, and his ducks in a row to beat Brock Lesnar. I was watching a little bit of the press conference. Cody, he stated now that he's done with Brock. He doesn't want to ever wrestle him again, and he wants to get back to finishing the story. How it seems nearly impossible, but he does want to get back to that level. So I guess we'll have to wait and see.
We will. No run-ins, no real, signs of where we're going from here. We'll probably get some promo and someone will interfere tomorrow.
It was interesting to put them second, because historically being the second match on any wrestling card for any company, regardless of, promotional status, is not historically easy, because, you have something like Logan and Ricochet that really sets the tone for the night. But
if Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens weren't second on WrestleMania, maybe Chris Jericho would still be in WWE. Maybe. What could have been?
But then you have guys like Cody and Brock who can go out there second and still have the crowd invested. So good stuff.
I don't know if the crowd was invested in certain points, because this was the 25-man Battle Royal, no free ads. SummerSlam Battle Royal, no ad, no free ads. LA Knight gets the win, eliminating Sheamus at the end. We did get a surprise, Philip. Omos is back. Omos was in the Battle Royal. He made a little bit of a run, but then, of course, he's the giant. He gets a spot where everyone gangs up on him, throws him out of the ring. But for all those homosexuals, all those homo sapiens, I don't know if Bromos is going to be a thing. Maybe so, because Riddle's kind of getting pushed down the card. I don't know. But, Philip, how did you feel about your boy Omos being back?
I almost changed my pick. I almost texted the chat and was like, hey, guys. But I believe in LA Knight. Yeah. Good things come to those that wait. Big moment in front of, 58,000? Congratulations to LA Knight, the megastar. Let me talk to you. He talked to all of us. I'm happy for him. Good stuff. Karrion Kross and AJ Styles look like they're continuing their little feud. Santos eliminating Austin Theory going after the United States Championship this Friday night. And interesting stuff, but LA Knight, big win on pay-per-view.
Yeah. I mean, Battle Royal was fine. It was nothing special. It kind of, if LA Knight didn't win this, I think it would have been just a complete waste of time. I mean, it still kind of was, to be honest, but at least LA Knight was able to get the win, get his little moment. And after the fact, we did get, I will plug them this time, we did get a Slim Jim ad with LA Knight and Bianca Belair. So I would say it was worth it to get through that 10 minutes of that Battle Royal just for that 30-second ad, because I did get a chuckle out of that.
You got to snap into a Slim Jim, brother, Savage mode. Oh, yeah.
We did get the old mid-90s Slim Jim ad with Randy Savage on the old television, so that was nice, little callback there.
Yes.
Then we got an MMA rules match, MMA rules match, not a fight, on a WWE card as Ronda Rousey takes on Shayna Baszler. This one goes 7:30. No one gave two shits about this match. I'm sorry. I was hoping maybe they could have got the crowd invested, had like a nice, as someone who's an MMA, WWE guy, I like blood sport type matches. I mean, they weren't going to have that type of match in WWE, and the crowd was not really up for it. The promos that were on Raw, 10,000 times better than this match. I mean, Shayna choked out Ronda. Ronda put a boo-boo face on at the end, looked kind of sad, and I guess she rides off into the sunset. No one got hurt, that's all we can ask for, I guess.
Match was happening. It was quick. Saw Ronda had the UFC-style logo in WWE form, or WWE letters in the UFC-style logo. Saw that on her gear. I was like, oh, that's a nice little touch.
I mean, she's going back.
Yes. Look, Shayna beat Ronda. Ronda can ride off to the sunset, go be a mom and a wife and all that other stuff. Let's get the Queen of Spades, Shayna Baszler, back, and let's just have her be a killer on the main roster. Yeah.
Sure. Then we got Gunther and Drew McIntyre.
Puta!
The WWE Intercontinental Championship. Only halfway through the show, but I think there's just a lot of commercials and a lot of just, you know, fluff that kind of elongated this show, kind of unnecessarily, but, you know, make your money, boo-boo, I guess. This one goes 13 minutes, 40 seconds. Gunther retains after both guys are up on the top rope. Gunther pushes Drew, crotches him, and, you know, hits a lariat powerbomb combination for the win. Hard hitting, definitely not to that next level like that triple threat match at WrestleMania was. So a little bit disappointing. Maybe they were holding back because they're going to have another match later. I'm hoping, because to be honest, this match was a tad bit disappointing for me. It just didn't get there.
I mean, sometimes it doesn't always need to get there.
I understand that, but, you know, people have a lot of expectations. SummerSlam, arguably second biggest PLE of the year. This was a marquee match.
Doesn't it make Gunther look even more credible that he was able to put away a two-time world champion without really having to do a whole lot? Doesn't it make him look more credible?
It does. And there's, you know, rumors and innuendos. Maybe Drew isn't going to re-sign. So maybe whether it's Drew's doing or WWE's doing, say, settle down. Don't go over the top. Just have Gunther win and move along. We have to wait and see about that, though.
Yeah. Let's not get started on the rumor mill. You know how I feel about those. Congrats to Gunther continuing the historic run. He's going to pass Pedro Morales, I believe, this week? And then he's going to go on to surpass Honky Tonk Man if there's not another title defense in between there. Shout out to Gunther. Good stuff. First time ever. Legit first time ever matchup here.
Any promotion, Michael Cole stressed that, which I thought was interesting. Obviously, with the UK background, they could have, you know, had some sort of UK indie show. But
No.
I think he said something like around 30 something days until Honky Tonk Man's record's broken. I don't know exactly what day Payback falls on, but
it's September 2nd. So
pretty much it's going to be like Roman at the 1,000 day mark or whatever.
Yes.
So I assume we'll have a Gunther match at Payback. Moving right along, we got Seth Rollins defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor. This one goes 18:30. Finn had a 7 written, the word 7, on his right shoulder, which was the same shoulder that Seth injured on that barricade buckle bomb 7 years ago. And Seth comes out dressed like a lunatic, like he always does. And I thought they told a good story. Finn targeting Seth.
Well, you forgot one of the most important parts. Seth wore the vest that he wore 7 years ago at SummerSlam when he injured Finn Balor, continuing to play the mind games. He wore the polka dots with Cody. He wore the shield gear with Roman. Is Seth the new master of mind games?
Well, he has like 20 different nicknames almost. He almost has as many nicknames as you do. I know Mastermind isn't one of them, but maybe he's got to add that to the list.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dang. You just absolutely hate to see it. But anyways, as you know, even before the match, they were telling stories about 7 years ago, and I thought they did a really good job in the match. You know, told a good story. Athleticism was up there. We got some buckle bombs, which is allegedly a banned move in AEW, but I guess you can do it in WWE. And we get the Judgment Day come out, as you would expect. Seth fights them off. Some sort of disagreement between Finn and Damian Priest twice. Priest throws the briefcase into the ring. Balor tries to get it, but he gets curb stomped onto it. And Seth successfully retains his title. Good. I thought it was a good match. A little convoluted finish, though.
I mean, Seth kind of looked like Superman for a little bit.
once again, Rhea was like there, but then didn't get physically involved, even though like she does. It's a whole thing with like women and Rhea Ripley getting involved in men's matches and stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, I thought this should have been Finn's moment. I really did. Damian looked like he was kind of like had enough of Finn's ish or shit, and we're in Bullet Cast After Dark. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what comes of that on Raw on Monday. But Seth continuing to reign supreme as the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, I would presume it's over for Finn. Now, obviously, Priest has the Money in the Bank contract. I don't know what that does, whether it's Finn and Priest getting a little bickering match or they just kind of drop it and they move on to something else. As you said, Cody talked about finishing the story. I still say that needs to be Roman, even though he's on Seth's show. So that's kind of weird. Maybe he teases going to Seth, but then he gets cut off by Bronson Reed or somebody else to kind of distract him for the next couple months. And then next thing you know, oh, look, we're like December, January, and now it's Royal Rumble time. And he can go and try to face Roman for the title. So I think that's where we're going. But as I said, I picked Seth. I kind of thought he was going to win, maybe get cashed in on. But I am, even though I'm not the biggest fan of Seth, I'm not opposed to him keeping this championship, especially because it's new and you got to build some sort of credibility with it. Anyways, moving right along, we got more championship matches, folks, as we got the WWE Championship. I'm getting confused with, you know, now we don't have her on SmackDown anymore, but Asuka is, or was, the WWE Women's Champion as she defended against Charlotte Flair and Bianca Belair. Little nitpick, not a big fan of Asuka coming out second. Have her come out third. I get it, you know, Charlotte is Charlotte, I guess, and then Bianca had to show up and do an ad for an energy drink, and this whole match was sponsored by an energy drink, and they had like little crayons or little whatever you call in screen during the match, and the whole arena, the whole field was lit up with the advertisements. And I, you know, we saw this at WrestleMania a lot. I'm not a big fan of it. Kind of takes me out of the moment a little bit, but you know, it is what it is. Nikon making money, boo boo. And the match itself, it was like, okay, I thought there was a lot of awkward spots. It's kind of involving Charlotte mostly, to be honest. Unfortunately, our boy Brian's not here and he can't defend his girl, because I did not think Charlotte looked very good in the match. You know, she had a little bit of moments, but for the most part, I think a lot of the clunky spots involved her, and she was calling a lot of spots loudly. She sounded like John Cena. It was bad.
I didn't hear any of that.
Well, you got to turn your speakers up.
No, TV was turned up completely. I didn't hear any of that. You're hearing voices. You know, what are you, Randy Orton now?
Well,
speaking of Randy Orton, my favorite SummerSlam moment when he cashed in on Daniel Bryan.
I don't know what you're talking about. That match never that never happened.
It did happen. You're intoxicated.
Daniel Bryan pinned Cena clean as a whistle. Middle.
Nope. Randy Orton beat him. Look, Bianca Belair, congratulations. She won the woman's title, third title run of her career. Io Sky comes out there and cashes in, and boom, Io Sky is now the WWE Women's Champion. Dakota Kai came out. She's been gone with injury, so Damage Control celebrating at SummerSlam, where a year prior they debuted. Good stuff, good stuff. Just talking, can't hear you at all.
Well, it'd help if I unmuted my microphone, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anyways, big fan of Io. Happy she, you know, cashed it in. She's a champion, but with the very heavily selling of Bianca Belair's knee, you kind of saw this one coming. We kind of thought maybe if we're going to get a cash in, it was going to be Charlotte to kind of boost up those numbers. But no, it was Bianca. Bianca, the triumphant babyface, you know, facing all adversity, gets the win, and then she just loses in 8 seconds. I mean, okay, I don't know how that. I guess Bianca's going to be on the chase now. I thought they were going to, I think there's a little more interest in Io and Asuka, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, it was fine. The this whole segment with the women's stuff, it was okay. I thought the moment itself for Io winning was much better than kind of the surrounding stuff, you know, the match, the circumstances, and the actual cash in itself. But anyways, that is it. We've recapped SummerSlam. I thought it was an okay show. I think outside of the main event, everything kind of was like average. Nothing really exceeded my expectations, to be honest. I know it's been a while, but Philip, we're giving grades out here. I'm going to give SummerSlam a B, a kind of a soft B, like a 83%.
I'm giving an 87. Good stuff. Love it. Fantastic. SummerSlam, that is it. We will be back in a few days. We have a lot to talk about. We got a lot of hyping up stuff to do, for especially wrestling going on around the Bay Area. Thank you guys so much. Be sure, be safe and stay dangerous. Yes, sir.